Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is Alita, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm DJ Impact, and we're going to start off with our three count topics. So we're very excited. We have all of the Bad Boys here with us this evening, so it's great to see all of you fellas. We're going to start off a report from ESPN that's titled Appeals Court Dismisses Ex-WWE Wrestler's Lawsuit Over Brain Damage. Now, as we get a little bit into this, first off, I let me welcome all of our viewers who are actually tapping into our live chat feed. Please leave any comments you have, and we'll definitely try to get it in where we see fit. And if you're listening, we thank you for listening also to the podcast version.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
1, 2, 3.
Count Talk.
Count Talk, baby.
1.
ESPN Appeals Court Dismisses Ex-WWE Wrestler's Lawsuit Over Brain Damage. Now, this was last week. A federal appeals court dismissed a lawsuit Wednesday that had been filed by 50 former pro wrestlers. Now, many of them are stars in the 80s and the 90s. And they were saying that WWE failed to protect them from repeated head injuries, including concussions that led to long-term brain damage. Now, it is also said that many of the claims were either frivolous or filed after the statute of limitations expired. So that's what the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York City agreed with the federal judge on. But the plaintiffs in this, I'm just going to name a few, and then we're going to actually watch a video as well. Some of the plaintiffs that wasn't named in this, some of the names we may be familiar with, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Road Warrior Animal. We also have Mr. Wonderful, King Kong Bundy, and Mr. Fuji. Now, Snuka and Fuji, they died in 2017, 2016, respectively, but were diagnosed with CTE. Also, you had King Kong Bundy had died last year of undisclosed causes, and there were also been other plaintiffs that have dementia or other illnesses as well. The last part I'll read off of this, it says that Vince McMahon, as being the defendant of this, says that his organization knew the risk of head injuries but didn't warn the wrestlers. And the U.S. judge, Vanessa Bryant in Hartford, said there was no evidence that WWE knew that concussions or head blows during wrestling matches caused CTE. So with that, take a quick look at this, and then we're going to get your reaction, fellas, to what's your take on this. And then we will go from there. Here we go.
And now we want to turn to a major new lawsuit against the WWE. Former wrestlers claiming they've suffered brain damage from years of doing dangerous stunts. ABC's Tom Yamas has our story.
It's signature stunts like this that now has two former pro wrestlers filing a class action lawsuit against World Wrestling Entertainment. This morning, Vito LaGrasso claiming that after nearly a decade of crushing blows in the WWE ring, he now has brain damage. The same for Evan Singleton. This 40-page complaint body-slamming the WWE for alleged mistreatment of its wrestlers and claiming it negligently or purposefully failed to diagnose concussions. The lawsuit echoes similar legal action against the NFL, which could settle at around $1 billion in concussion-related damages from former players.
The NFL lawsuit
articulates a lot of the issues that are present in the WWE, namely ignorance and the downplaying of risks of repetitive concussions.
The WWE plaintiffs also claim wrestlers are encouraged to get hurt and that those famous chair shots inflict a dangerous level of force to the skull. The lawsuit cites several cases where wrestlers were knocked unconscious, like this 2007 incident when Candice Michelle fell from the top turnbuckle. A lawyer for the WWE saying in part, WWE has never concealed any medical information related to concussions or otherwise from our talent. We will vigorously contest this lawsuit. The WWE knows how to put up a fight in the ring. It may now have to show some of that muscle in court. For Good Morning America, Tom Yamas, ABC News, New York.
Ooh.
Yeah, you have to imagine things like the pile driver are going to have some kind of impact.
That's it. Our thanks to Tom Yamas.
that pile driver can be devastating. Just to conclude, back to the ESPN, they say, hey, unlike football and hockey, in which players have suffered similar injuries, WWE matches involve moves scripted and choreographed by WWE, thus making the company directly responsible for wrestlers' injuries, the lawsuit said. So that was their take on that. Now, the National Football League and National Hockey League were also sued by former players who suffered concussions and head injuries. The NFL settled for $1 billion, while the NHL settled for $18.9 million. All right, fellas, it's now off to you. What's your take on this story here? 50 pro wrestlers all came together from the 80s and 90s and said, hey, we've been affected by this, and we think WWE knew and they should be taking care of us financially. What's your take on it?
WWE had better lawyers. Point blank. I mean, it's a lot safer than it was, right? Mm-hmm. Because back then you had, chair shots that were going directly to the head, things like that. But these guys are not going to get any money from WWE. I mean, we talked about their lawyers last week. They knew the risk at that time. None of them complained until they were past their primes.
Did just playing devil's advocate, did they know the risk, the CTE back in the 80s or in the 90s of what this could have took place? Or nevertheless, it doesn't matter. They knew that some injury could be involved. I mean,
yeah, they say it all the time. You know, it's not ballet.
Interesting. Oh, anybody else take on this?
Well, I think it's interesting how this totally been shut out. The claims that they had look like they kind of had some traction, but then when it really does come down to it, it's they can't. There's no way that they're going to be able to beat WWE lawyers. And WWE lawyers, it's not a new case that they've been dealing with. It's not a new subject WWE's been dealing with. I'm pretty sure their lawyers have been working on stuff like this for the last, 10, 15, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been covered. And so the one thing that I do think of, and I was kind of looking around when I was reading the original article, I was looking at what do stuntmen go through, stuntmen for movies, because there was a couple reports where, I was looking at HG.org legal resources.
Okay.
It's online. And they talked about how a stuntman that was associated with the movie Hangover recently brought a lawsuit against Warner Brothers. That they said it was reported even on E! Online, that claimed that the plaintiff alleged that the stuntman coordinator for the movie changed the sequence of the vehicle crash at the last minute, leading to the mishap that caused the stuntman to suffer permanent physical injuries. And that's what the lawsuit was brought about. The reason why I bring that article up, just, we know with wrestling, sometimes there's audibles. There's scripted, but only so much. And sometimes the audible has to go through. Do these people have a leg to stand on? Saying like, what if plans don't go the way, or what if a spot goes differently? We have to do an audible.
Mm-hmm.
Should the company be held accountable for that? Or is it still the, 1099 employees that are not technically, they're contracted by WWE. They don't work for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that came to my mind.
So with so let me ask you then, and this could be either Matt Michaels or Sin City. So at what point does, I mean, I'm assuming that the, you know, when this was happening, they didn't really know that that this could end up, you know, they end up having the effects of this. WWE, in fairness, didn't, I guess you could say, didn't know that either. At the same time, you know, I guess if you look at in sports and the NFL and NHL, we can also say that they didn't know that during that time that those sports leagues been going on, but they're still paying out big amounts of settlement. Why do you see that not being the reason why WWE is following along with that?
It's obvious. I mean, WWE, you know, they've never followed the lead of major sporting organizations when it comes to, you know, settlements or anything of that nature. I mean, I think that it's been said by everybody that their legal team is just like the final boss in a video game. Like they're just they're unbeatable, you know.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that is I really would like to see some compensation for, you know, these affected individuals. Realistically, it's not going to happen though. And that's just the legal system at play. It's only my opinion, but yeah, I even if it's, you know, somewhere in between the 18 million and the 1 billion, you know, the two numbers that were thrown out there, 18 million for the NHL mm-hmm. and then the NFL with 1 billion, just somewhere in the middle there. And you know, hell, even if it's 20 million, you know, it's still something. And especially with how much WWE likes to, you know, toot their own horn that they're, you know, an extremely charitable organization and that they give back. Mm-hmm. I think that they actually could settle out of court with something like this and, you know, make it known. Hell
yeah.
How much they're, you know, the settlement's for, and, you know, just frame it in a really HR or PR positive way.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Matt Michaels, I mean, they don't have to pay any sort of settlement. And I can one look at it, though, that if they say, look, we will put together a fund for these 50 wrestlers or maybe even more than that who come forward. But if they were to do that, are they then admitting guilt, or could they do that and not be admitting anything towards that?
I don't think they should fucking do it. Mm. Why would they do it?
Okay.
It's fucking stupid. It's ridiculous. And I'll tell you this much. Okay. The reason it's ridiculous, let's touch on one thing.
Okay.
I'm glad to see that President Obama is consulting Congress about fighting ISIS. Because that video is older than... I think your son was born when that video came out. So Big Vito, the people who, you know, started this lawsuit and whatnot, Big Vito, he was wrestling in WCW.
Mm.
Wasn't he?
I think so.
You don't remember? You guys don't remember, he was in WCW.
Yeah.
It was Big Vito and Johnny the Bull and Chuck Palumbo, and they were the Italian guys right near the end there.
Mm.
But the
FBI ripoff stable. Yeah.
You know, interesting enough, I didn't know who that was, but I did work with Johnny the Bull.
Great. Anyway, so
what the hell was that?
No, continue, Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, the point being here is that's an example, WCW, but King Kong Bundy and Fuji and Orndorff, all these guys, especially the Road Warrior animal there,
mm-hmm.
how long did they were they in the WWF? They were all wrestling for organizations well before they even stepped into a WWF ring. Yeah. So fuck them, because what they're doing is they're trying to get money from the big corporation that has the money to give.
Mm.
All right? Okay. But there is no indication that, A, if the WWF never existed, that they would be coming forward and suing anyone over their health.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that any of the problems that they, you know, racked up was due to the WWF themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gotten, you know, their brain scrambled when they were working in fucking Kentucky for a $50 payoff when they decided to do, you know, a spot that ended up with 15 chair shots.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is, and then if you want to take it one step further, this idea that the brutalization, it's something that even though there were brutal matches in the, you know, in the NWA, the affiliates, the territories, right?
Yeah.
There were brutal matches. But if you looked at the WWF's product during the time that these guys were there from the 80s and into the 90s, there wasn't brutalization going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these guys were doing fucking headlocks and wrist holds, right?
Yeah.
They weren't doing, you know, nightly chair shots and shit like that. That wasn't happening. This didn't become a phenomenon until Japan was getting popular, and then ECW took that over, and then it bled into, literally, into the late 90s, early 2000s. There was only about a 10-year time frame in which that is relevant. So all these guys who are part of this lawsuit, if they were, you know, if they were part of that attitude era, like a guy like Chris Benoit,
mm-hmm.
I could see Benoit's family going after him because, you know, potential CTE causing that situation of murder. But otherwise, I mean, dude, and the final point is they don't have a fucking union. So you signed the contract. You're an independent contractor. If you want to do this for a living, you're passionate about it, you know what the consequences are. Unless you all get together and produce change, it's not going to happen. So stop trying to sue, because it's not going to work. Period. Done. Yeah.
And going back to that, it says, in her 2018, speaking of the judge ruling, Bryant criticized Kairos for repeatedly failing to comply with court rules and orders, and ordered him to pay WWE's legal fees, which could total hundreds of thousands of dollars. He might want to leave this alone. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't want to pay their legal fees. All right, well, we'll jump over into our second count, which comes from EssentiallySports.com. And it's titled, "Is AEW Way Too Dependent on Former WWE Superstars?" And so, this, according to here, this really came out when a fan decided to throw Tony Khan out there and say, "Hey, I thought that we're going to usher in new era of pro wrestling with fresh new faces and champions." And then he put, you know, put all the gold on the old WWE guys. And pretty much what he's saying, look, you got Brody Lee, John Moxley, Chris Jericho, and Cody. They, you know, they were all part of WWE. And they have, you know, they've had belts or still have the belts. And, you know, AEW, they have some guys that they brought in, but you don't see them with it. Orange Cassidy or actually you see Hikaru Shida. But Darby Allin, Abaddon are some of the examples of the AEW stars. Bottom line is you just don't see a lot of those stars built around being champions and all. So what is your take on this? I mean, Tony Khan did say this from the beginning, and yet we're beginning to kind of see what we see from so many other organizations that do that as well. You know, no matter what, when they bring in someone from WWE, somehow they just go right to the top and end up with a championship shot or actually the title. What's your take on this? Is this fair from this this person on Twitter who went after Tony Khan?
I mean,
I'll jump in first. I might as well.
Yeah.
To actually specifically answer the question asked in the headline of this article, yes, without a doubt, they are. 100%. And I have no problems admitting that they are way too dependent on former WWE stars. That's just how they've chosen to do things. I think that we're starting to see things changing a little bit. And obviously, you know, on Dynamite, there was a promo with Jericho saying that he and, you know, Jake Hager are going to go into the tag team division, which basically almost by default puts them in a lower space on the card. As much as AEW has tried to, you know, give a platform and say that tag team wrestling is on a level playing field with singles wrestling, it's still not. So I see that
Who's the tag team champs right now?
That was something that I was going to mention, dude. So obviously,
you know, how come he didn't get muted?
Whatever.
Well, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm sorry. Steve, I'm sorry. Let me just preface that with, you know, this one time I actually was around FTR. They were awesome. They were neat. Oh, I guess.
Nice. So anyway, I think that we're going to start to see the change and the pivot, because obviously on that same show where you had that promo, you had another promo from Kenny Omega saying that he is going to, you know, go back to being a singles wrestler. So in just those two promos, they're essentially taking you know, one tag team guy and throwing him into being a singles guy, taking, you know, a singles guy, throwing him into being a tag team guy. So I think it's cool. I have no problems with what they're doing. And obviously, you know, the jury's always going to be out and people are always going to be tribalistic between WWE versus AEW. It's just how it's always going to be. But yeah, I mean, you know, as much as I try to just be a fan, that's all that anybody should be, you know.
Well, let me ask you, fellas, for the remaining here, would it have been a bad idea if AEW out the gate was somehow, you know, Darby Allin or Orange Cassidy or, you know, Abaddon? Let's say out the gate they came out to be the either TNA or the Impact World Champion. If they end up having that, would that have been something that could have been built upon versus going the way that they went? And it would have been, you know, not only keeping up with the promises, but building new stars up within AEW.
Well, you look at Hangman Page. There's a guy that you could have leveraged to be, you know, your star of the company pretty much. And now he's just basically a walking drunk Fu master who's kind of, you know, figuring his way around things. And I'm sure at some point they'll circle back around and make him a star. I just want to point out one thing that Daniel says from my watch party, that there's a time for growth. You build the AEW guy from the known guy, i.e. MJF and Moxley or Jericho and Cassidy. So, you know, while they have signed a lot of WWE stars, and a lot of people may say it's AE or WWE light, there's just no way around it. You know, you have to bring these guys in if it's an option, and fans are instantly going to recognize them. You know, have they done a good job building other stars? Yes, they have. I mean, there's still more room to grow, but, you know, this is inevitable. They were going to have to lean on these guys for their name and, to some degree, their talent.
All right. What would you say about that, Simon Street?
I would say along the same lines, but, I feel like what they're doing is working. But sometimes I do have some questions when I look at, you know, AEW wrestling page and they look at, you know, the whole roster and what their records are. When I look at Ricky Starks, how fresh is Ricky Starks in the AEW pool? He already got a 7-1 record. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you look at Abaddon. Abaddon has a 5-1 record, and we hardly see her on TV. So I wonder at some point, is part of their – I get what they're doing, but I also go back to what AEW was kind of giving these promises to on, you know, records matter. And do records reflect TV time? And if that is the actual equation that AEW is sticking to, then I should be seeing Abaddon on TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, it makes sense that I'm seeing Big Swole. She's at 8-3. You know what I mean? Ricky Starks, I'm still trying to figure out, has he had actual 8 matches? I don't know. Maybe some of it might have been on AEW. That's what I was thinking. You know what I mean? I mean, here's another one. Peter Avalon. How long have we seen it in the ring? Mm-hmm. I've seen him outside of the ring in the crowd, very, very much so, because they always show him. So
he's,
I just want to
on Dark.
That's probably what it is. So then my thing is this, because I don't watch Dark obviously enough. Is that something to where on the main Dynamite show, should they be finding ways to get people like me, which I'm sure I'm not the only person, you need to be watching Dark. So that way, someone like me watching Dark, and I start making some noise or something, I don't know, to where these people can't get on there. It's just my thought.
Okay. So, Matt Michaels, I mean, I'll throw it out there to you as well. I mean, let's say this whole thing with Orange Cassidy and Jericho, which has been a really good feud that they've capitalized on, and I understand that Orange Cassidy, this was getting to this level of where he was at was pushed by the fans. So I understand that. But let's just say out the gate when Jericho was still, when he became champion, if they would have sort of ran out this game plan that they're doing now with Orange Cassidy and Jericho, and they had this feud, and somehow let's say Orange Cassidy ended up being the Impact champion. I'm just throwing this, throwing something out there. But he ended up from the beginning of AEW, they had this whole, you know, 3-month battle, and then he now became the Impact World Champion. How would that look? Something that was definitely different, new, what Tony Khan wanted, and would have could have just built from that instead of building from Jericho at the top, which I understand the idea of big names. I get that. But how about Jericho coming out the gate in this new organization, just losing from there instead of having the title on him from the beginning?
Well, I've been revolutionary to have Orange Cassidy as the Impact champion.
Yeah.
And you said it twice. As simple as this. Listen, you heavyweight champion, Jericho Moxley, your belt that you just created, presumably to help make new talent, your TNT championship, Cody Brody Lee, your tag team championship, which you absolutely had something there, which was able for those guys to kind of just break in a little bit. FTR gets signed. They're the tag champions. You know, if someone gets released from WWE, that's a female wrestler within the next 6 months, she'll be the female champion. You know, it's, I mean, that's it. It's build your stars. But I think that it's ridiculous. Brody Lee doesn't need the TNT belt.
Mm-hmm.
No reason. I'm sorry. You can throw it on. Hell, if you're trying to get the Dark Order over, put it on Colt Cabana. Makes it more interesting. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, be creative with stuff like that. Your heavyweight championship, listen, you're going to say, well, Moxley draws. That's great. But at the same time, don't you think that a guy like Moxley doesn't need the belt? People will watch if he's on, if you're claiming that he draws ratings. So put the title on MJF. There's, I mean, you know, try it. Try it. So far, they have not gone with a major singles belt on anyone else but someone who was in the WWE. So try it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna? You're not gonna lose your fan base.
Yeah.
In fact, it'll endear them more with the fan base because these are, you know, quote unquote homegrown talents, if you will. Like Scorpio Sky would have been the perfect person for them to drop that TNT title on. I mean, it would have just made for a great story. And, you know, there's plenty of buy-in already. So it's just baffling to me why they didn't go that route.
Yeah, definitely. From the chat, Sean says, former WWE wrestlers bring a perception of quote unquote legitimate talent to the roster. Every company has them. So yeah, that I definitely agree 1,000% with what he's saying.
Yeah, but legitimate talent's one thing. Having to have them have your championship belts is another thing.
Mm.
I mean, listen, it isn't 3 months in. We're a year in.
Yeah.
And they still haven't put a singles title on anyone but someone who's been on WWE TV.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, except for Nyla Rose. She's probably the only exception.
Well, their whole female division, because they don't have anyone on that.
Yeah. But I agree with you, Michaels. I think that they definitely, now that we're a year in, I'm ready to see some fresh, you know.
Yeah.
Someone fresh with a belt, and I think we'll see that either with Orange Cassidy or MJF for sure. Just the way I'm seeing the programming, and I'm cool with both of them. Any one of them getting the belt, I think that they can do well on their own personally.
Yeah, I was gonna say I could actually see Orange Cassidy going after the TNT title and put him into a feud with Brody Lee. I think that could be really really effective. So.
But is it realistic? See, now you got that problem. Yeah. You're going to put a guy like Brody Lee, you give that title to. I would have Cody and Orange Cassidy tear up the house.
Right.
Brody Lee, come on, man. The guy's like 9'2". And Orange Cassidy is like, you know, fucking freshman in high school.
Exactly. So, yeah. And honestly, like, that's something that I think could actually be appealing to some folks. Mm-hmm. You know,
and on top
of that, you've built up Brody Lee and you've made him into a monster. I'm not saying like this week should be, you know, they get that program rolling, but I'm saying that I would like to see Orange Cassidy be the one to actually take that title from Brody Lee, you know, 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, whenever they'd actually like to do that. And obviously you will have continued to build Brody to be a monster. And I mean, you just continue to get some shine on Orange Cassidy.
I don't know. Like Michael said, I don't know if I could believe that.
You couldn't believe that?
Even though we just came off of a great, you know, feud with Jericho, I just don't know if it's believable. I think the numbers advantage is always going to be there for Brody Lee. He's too big. So I don't see it.
Then who?
Well, you go down the list. I mean, you started with Scorpio Sky, who's actually someone who comparatively could be someone who would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Hangman Page. There's another guy that, you know, was supposed to be the future of your company. And, you know, you're just kind of throwing him, you know, no bones.
But let me ask you this. Yeah. What about the numbers game? Because Lucky did make a good point. He said with the numbers game, I get Scorpio Sky and some of the names you named, size advantage, or sizing up to Brody Lee makes sense. But what about the numbers? Dark Order's deep.
Well, so you're going to have guys that come in that are going to...
Did you say the Dark Order's deep?
Sorry. Yeah, it's dark. It's dark. And don't get me. Dark Order is deep.
There's 11,
I'm taking members, not as far as talent, just
100, you can pick a number. But I think the difference there is that who's going to come to Orange Cassidy's rescue? The Best Friends? No.
They ain't got no ride. They ain't got no ride.
Versus Scorpio Sky, you know, some quality people might actually come to his rescue. And I'm not knocking the Best Friends, but it's the Best Friends.
Well, not only that, but let's face it, a guy like Scorpio or a guy like Hangman Page, you can see them taking on the Dark Order by themselves. because the Dark Order are, you know, if Orange Cassidy's a freshman, the Dark Order are basically like fifth year seniors.
They're kind of like the Foot Clan. You know, there's a whole bunch of goons or the Power Rangers where they had the little.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you could just kind of tear through them. I get that. But
especially the midget.
There's a midget?
Oh, Jesus. Our live video comments are on fire. Make sure you jump on to that if you want to add anything to the topic. So bottom line, it seems like that it's that there is some AEW talent that definitely should be pushed to the top more than what we're seeing. But hopefully now they are getting to that level. So we'll leave it right there. Let's start with our third count, and this is from thesportster.com. Now, this was just titled, The Worst Member of the Greatest Wrestling Trios. Now, I'm not going to go through the entire list of factions that they name, or the 10 factions, but they're saying that out of these 10 best factions, one of those members were the worst. Now, I'm actually going to jump in this one, and I'll start this one off, fellas. My pick, my pick for number two, for the Shield, they said the worst member on that one was Dean Ambrose. And I got to be honest with you. Let me just be honest. Now, I didn't watch the Shield when they were in NXT. So I don't know how their performance were. I was introduced to them when they made it to the WWE TV, right? When I saw them, I most of the time looked at the group and said, oh, it's when they break up, Roman Reigns is definitely going to be the man. But right under him is going to be Dean Ambrose. And I said, Seth is going to be the one that's not going to last very long in this company. They're going to kick him out. That's how it was presented to me as watching. Because what Seth became, I didn't see that in the group. I'm just being honest. So I would say I would disagree with what he mentioned here as far as Dean Ambrose, because to me, Dean Ambrose was shining in the Shield. They laid him out as being a lunatic, the crazy guy, and he was wrestling just as that. I didn't see him as being this weak link. I saw Seth. So I'm going to say when it comes down to the Shield for number two, I'm going to say that the author is wrong. Dean Ambrose wasn't the weak. I'm going to say in my terms it was Seth, but that's just me. Now, for each one of you, choose which one of these factions that you either agree with the writer or you disagree with the writer, or why, with who was the weakest link within the faction based on the 10 that they named. Who want to take it?
Well, I'll go.
All right.
I thought with China being the weakest link in DX, I thought that was a little bit off. I thought even though everybody kind of represented well, I thought she was a strong, you know, option, but behind Shawn, Triple H, and then it would have been her to me. X-Pac would have been probably the one that I would have, and that's not taking away anything from X-Pac, because he's, you know, he was a quality talent, but I think they got it wrong with saying that China was the weak link. She was a...
Did you read what it said? The original version of DX.
Yeah.
And that's only Sean Hunter and China. Yeah. And that one shouldn't even be on this list.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
How do you fit China into in ring? Exactly. It's stupid. DJ, you picked another winner with this one.
You picked another potato. I mean, if I may be so inclined, Crush from the Nation of Domination. That shouldn't even count, because that was when the Nation of Domination, if you look at all the members during that time,
what?
The same. It was the Nation of Embarrass. That Wait, was on the what? List. They on the list on. I actually read through the whole list. They said Crush. It was number 7 out of 10. Crush, Nation of Domination. Yeah.
7 is the brute.
Yeah, ass.
So did I continue then? I continue to keep reading, because they said Braun Strowman, the Wyatt family. I kept going. The worst what? Member of Strowman the 10 greatest wrestling factions of all time. I kept reading.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm confused.
I'm talking about, as you read through the whole list, they said, would you like to continue? So I clicked next, and it showed
there me is no, there is no next or continue.
Let Let's pop it on the screen. Let's pop it on the screen so I can tell you what I mean.
You read the article underneath the article.
Yes, I did. Because it almost was the same exact topic.
It's one of those clickbait headlines.
Oh.
It had the same list, though. It had the same
list. No, it doesn't have the same list.
It's slightly different. They gotcha.
But how
gotcha.
Is it slightly different?
That's what it
it's
is.
Fine, but here's the thing, though. I will be honest. They had almost the same exact list. Now that's who you're talking about, because they said Dean Ambrose, and I thought it was weird that they said Dean Ambrose twice when they already mentioned him. But I kept looking because I was interested in the list in general. I thought it was like, man, some of these picks are kind of awful. Like, they talked about the Hart family. You know, Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
That's
was
one great. Of them. None of us all read the other fucking list. So what the fuck does it matter?
Hey.
We were asked about a certain thing. And now none of us can reply to what you're saying because none of us are stupid enough to click on the fucking page.
I kept reading.
You know what happens?
And I was on my phone. So at the end of the day, it is what it is.
You know what happens to people that read the wrong list? You know what happens? Do you?
Oh, are you going to tell me? I'm on the
you
list.
You just made the list.
Oh, Lord. You were probably hard
Holy
and
wish shit. Welcome to 4 years ago.
Jeez. All right. Well, then let me give you from the list that I was supposed to read, the original list.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to come back to you and go?
No, No. I was gonna say gang.
He's gonna hold the show hostage.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, that's Matt.
So click the link. Wait 20 minutes for your ISP to load the page.
No. I was gonna say Gangrel from the Brood. It kind of sucks that they did put him as the weakest link, but I thought he was the coolest out of all of them. Because no offense to Edge and Christian, but they're in the Brood. I felt they were like. A little boring. I loved Gangrel when he came out and he had the fire and the chalice of blood and he had that cool ass fucking music. So I don't agree with 100%. I mean,
so if that's the case, what member of the Brood then would have been the weak link out of that?
I would say Christian.
Okay.
I would say Christian was the weak link.
Yeah.
All right.
From the original list. Matt Michaels.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, we got that all together.
Thank you for referencing the original material.
I will say one thing that the list highlights, and when you have the New Day, is the need for Xavier to get back and for them to do something with him. So.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I agree. It'd be good for that. I actually said I'm definitely disagreeing with Shane Douglas. So that really stood out to me. Shane Douglas from the Triple Threat in ECW.
Mm-hmm.
This article is saying that he was actually the worst member of a trios faction. What the fuck? The guy was the world champion of your brand. Dude. The faction was built for the franchise. Mm-hmm. And this article said that he was the worst member of the faction. What in the actual fuck is this guy on?
And I'll be honest, Shane is one of those workers that I think never got the true respect in the business that he deserved.
Agreed.
He was well before his time.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, the stuff that he did in ECW, when he threw the NWA championship down on the ground in a shoot and started Extreme Championship Wrestling, that was unfucking believable. And he had an amazing career, and he never got anywhere near what he should have gotten.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Michaels.
So this is why this list is ridiculous. You start off with him calling out DiBiase Jr. and Legacy. First of all, why is Legacy on this list? Because
they were just trying to make fun of Ted DiBiase.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, this author decided to take DiBiase, but he specifically says that DiBiase was viewed as a top prospect of the two youngsters, meaning him and Cody, and they had huge plans for him. And the breakup of Legacy saw things change with Cody finding more success. Well, then you just fucked your whole point, because it's supposed to be within the structure of the trio. So you're using a future to judge the current. It makes no sense. The Blue Meanie in the Blue World Order? The fuck? Why is that trio on there? It's another, like, do you remember those barn burners that the Blue World Order had? For, you know, they were hot for what? Maybe fucking a year, if that? Buddy Roberts and the Freebirds. That makes sense, okay? Buddy Roberts was predominantly looked at as the weaker link of the Freebirds. However, Buddy Roberts wrestled more of the matches. So it's like you're going to use a weak link of three guys, you know, the Brood you guys covered. Okay, you could argue Christian. But again, same scenario. Christian was wrestling more of the matches. So Gangrel was already kind of established, and that's why you put the guys with the, so, you know, Shane Douglas, like you said, China, it's, you know, Eric Rowan and the Wyatt family. Harper and Rowan both, I mean, they were both misutilized. The only standout there was Wyatt himself. Xavier Woods, you can make the argument, right? And Ambrose, that's ridiculous. The Shield, all three guys are top guys. But the one that pisses me off is number one. You're going to call out Kevin Nash as the weak link of the three New World Order leaders, founders.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck off. You know, this is the kind of bullshit kind of writing. Haverford. Joey Haverford, who apparently they put his last name before his first, apparently, unless his name is Haverford Joey. So even the name is backwards, because you're totally fucking ass backwards on this whole thing.
So, Matt Michaels, who was the worst out of number one?
There wasn't a worst. That's the point. That's the same thing with the Freebirds. There wasn't a worst. In both cases, all those guys are Hall of Famers. How is there a worst? You know, I could see the argument with someone like Xavier Woods, because Woods hasn't got the push yet, but he's also been a multiple tag team champion using the Freebird rule, which is rotating him. So eventually he's going to be a Hall of Famer too. So I think this guy was just looking for something where his, you know, whoever, I don't even know if these have bosses, where it's like write an article. I need his $50 fucking compensation for the, you know, month of, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe we would have been better off reading Simon's list.
Before we go.
It was a better list.
Dan says from the chat, and we have to answer this back in their time. Who was the worst member of 3MB?
Oh,
yeah. Fucking Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal.
It wasn't he.
He didn't fit. Like I'm just like, okay. What instrument did he play? Remember how they all had fake-ass instruments? What did Jinder Mahal play? Was it like the drums? Did he have like some drumsticks at one point?
Oh God! Well, that
It's definitely gender, though.
Yeah, it was gender.
It's Heath. It's Heath Slater all the way.
It's not Heath.
Oh, come on! Man. Original one man band.
Please.
One man band.
Oh my gosh! You're like,
where is Matt Michaels? Where do I control the mute button on Matt Michaels for saying such? Oh God! Well, guys, that's our three count topics for tonight. There was a possible run-in that was going to happen, but it looked like they're discussing to have that run-in maybe on another week. So be ready. You never know when it's going to come in and when it's going to happen. So with that will be our three count. Folks, definitely don't go anywhere, because we are about to do our...
Wait.
Okay, what's
before
up?
Before you say anything...
Go ahead.
Raven from the chat says... Simon Street is the worst of Bad Boys.
Damn.
Hey, that's all right.
And right now, everyone in the back of their mind is saying,
fuck it. At least it wasn't me.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good.
Hey, folks, remember, you can always jump onto the live video comment, and you can jump into the discussion as well. Every Sunday, right after 8 o'clock, just look for our notification to pop up when we go live, and we will be here. And, of course, you just happen to miss it because all of our East Coast folks right now are probably getting ready for work. You can just pop in the podcast tomorrow morning and enjoy it, all right? Or, in this case, three count will be Tuesday morning.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.